There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Live vocal talk over this hour. And a perfect transition out of one of my favorite audio cuts, which, by the way, Dalton, we're going to be working. We've got an intern showing up. I think she's coming Monday. I got a call from Dad. She's coming Monday. We're going to put her to work on the brand new show open. She's listening right now. You got your work cut out for you, kid. But yeah, the clip there from Governor Ivey about the high-stepping turkeys, those were two turkeys that were, remember, pardoned back on Thanksgiving by Governor Ivey. Won't be any live turkeys that I know of coming up in just a little over 2 weeks, the week of June 14th and 15th at the Mobile Convention Center. But it actually is an event that started off with the use of a live gobbler, and it's an event that's come home to Mobile. Started here, was here for a long time, went away, and finally is coming back to roost here in Mobile. The 2019 World Turkey Calling Championship, June 14th and 15th at the Convention Center. And joining us to talk more about this, Kenny Wise from a turkey calling family of his own, to talk more about it. Thanks for your time, Kenny. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here.
All right. I mentioned that while there probably won't be any live gobblers in the event coming up on the 14th and 15th, the World Turkey Calling Championship actually started right here in Mobile and did involve a live turkey.
Yes, sir. the first calling contest that was ever held was the World Turkey Calling Championship. It was held at the Battle House Motel, January the 4th of 1940.
Wow.
And, of course, we don't use wild turkey or turkeys now in the competition, but, you know, because we're actually trying to mock the turkey. We are trying to imitate the turkey. And it's not it says turkey calling competition, but it's a turkey imitating competition, truly.
That's a good point. I want you to get in the details of all the stuff people will be hearing when they come out to the event, but the history of this, and this is one of these, as we put together what all these different pages that make the Book of Mobile that is so neat, is can you paint that picture for us back in 1940 when this all started at the Battle House? How did this all go down?
Well, there was a group that has evolved into the Mobile Wildlife and Conservation Association. But it was under a different name at the time. Well, they decided they were going to have the World Turkey Calling Championship. So, and back in those days, you know, you're either, you know, a high society or the upper class, or either the lower starving class is the only ones that hunted turkey. I mean, there was very little medium there. So, but anyway, the association, you know, had this calling contest. Well, lo and behold, the one who ended up winning the contest was Fred Stimson. But you had the lads, you know, different, you know, people that was, you know, involved with that organization, and they actually brought a turkey in a cage into the Battle House Motel.
That's the part I love.
And,
love
you this. Know, I could really see that happening right now. You know, but anyway, they were required to do a minimum of 5 calls. And, you know, at that time, they just, you know, did, you know, 5 or more. Well, the way the story went, Fred Stimson, which happens to be Sandy's Stimson's grandfather, he got there and they said that he did 10 or 12 different turkey calls and just blew away the crowd, you know, and he was crowned the world turkey calling champion. Well, it got published in the Mobile Press Register, and of course it had a wide area that it covered. Well, there was a congressman or senator from up around Butler, Alabama, that got there and said, you know, he got mad about it. And he called Fred Stimson up, said, I've killed more turkeys than you ever dreamed of, and, you know, I'm a better caller than you are. And there was a challenge there. And so Fred said, well, I tell you what, you come on down. I'm going to put up $100. Now, keep in mind, this was in 1940.
It's big money.
So $100 drew a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and said, you're going to put up $100. So they had judges that judged those two, and Fred came out the winner. And he said, I'm not going to take that money. I've got some land in Clark County, and I'm going to buy more land with that money. $200 back then would have bought a lot of land.
Yep.
And that's where the off of this contest, this is where turkey restoration, where they went in and they let the turkeys raise naturally, they trap them, and then they're stocked turkeys from up there off of this contest, what started it, from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina.
Amazing. And it all started at the Battle House with an event where they hauled a live turkey and did
right,
a calling contest.
Battle House Motel.
And it's a huge success story that a lot of people, I mean, we talk about this on the Outdoors program a lot, but National Wide Turkey Federation has taken that, and what an amazing success it's been for turkey populations around the country. But right here at home, it all starts with this contest. And then it was a thing for a long time, because I remember, Kenny, as a boy, going down to, then it would have been, I think we're going to the Civic Center back then, and in the auditorium there, and watching the contest. This would have been in the 80s as a boy I watched it.
Right, and I can go back further than that. You know, I got you a year or two, but, and, you know, it was held at the Armory and out here at UMS, right? Oh, well, it's UMS at the time, you know. And we actually had to a spectator, you know, someone that just wanted to watch this and get around these, you know, well-known, you know, sports celebrities that you see on TV still today. You know, we had to pay to go in there.
Right.
And this here, we're not charging at the door. We want Mobilians to get behind this and come down there and support this contest. You know, it'll be just free to the public. And we got divisions that they can even call in, you know, amateurs, you know, anything from Polk's up to as old as they are, you know, we got all kind of divisions that they can call in.
Right, so the Pulse, the young group, and that's what I'm talking about. There's two things going on here. We'll give some websites in a second and social media pages. If somebody wants to compete in this, they do need to get signed up to compete. But also, you don't have to be there competing to be part of this. This is, I'm telling folks, from back in the day, it was fascinating to go watch this. I picked up a lot and was just entertained. So, I mean, you're inviting people to just come out and watch.
Correct. If they come down, they're going to hear some of the greatest callers that there are, you know, on in the world. I mean, that's what it's about. This is the World Turkey Calling Championship. And, you know, it's and we need a great turnout, you know, and the better the turnout, the better it's going to be next year and the year after that and the year after that. You know, we really want to keep this here in Mobile.
You got content. Listen to this, y'all. If y'all are trying to, you know, wrap your head around this, you've never heard of this before, why this might be a big deal for our city, and it is absolutely part of our history and fabric here. You've got people coming from how many different states in here to call?
Right now, that I know about is, I mean, I think it's at least 14 different states.
Wow.
Now, that's what I know about. I mean, just from up north, you know, your Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Iowa, Arkansas, Missouri, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. And I might have left out something, but that there's, I mean, that's a pretty widespread, you know. And
it's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome knowing that they're coming here. And, of course, a good thing tourism-wise, they're going to come here probably not by themselves. They're going to bring family and come in and be part of this. And so there's competitors. There's also room for amateurs and professional callers from around here. Right. But what I like is this is a free event and open to somebody who's just listening to us, and they say, Kenny and Sean, I got no idea what y'all are talking about. You guys are all wrapped up in turkeys. But it does sound like something to have experienced. This is an open event. People can stop by and poke their head in and see what it's all about.
Correct, and why I can't leave out my judges.
Right.
You know, anybody out there, if you associated with hunting at all, Eddie Salter, Preston Pittman, considered the world's greatest. Don Shipp, Larry Norton, Lamar Fussell, Steve Stokes. I mean, that's six right there. All former world champions that are very approachable. I mean, you go up there and you can meet them, you can talk to them. Of course, they can't do it while they judging now, you know, but they very approachable. And even the callers, most of the callers, you know, you can approach them as long as they're not getting in the game, you know,
mm-hmm.
Getting their head in the game, you know. As a whole, is a pretty good group of guys and girls. We have a lot of women that compete also.
Y'all, and if you have not heard this before, the world of turkey calling, I would say, is not just the utilitarian turkey calling that a lot of us would use in the woods, although there's routines like this used in the woods, but these are virtuosos. I mean, they are the best of the best. They make sounds that a human being, even with a tool of a mouth call or friction call, shouldn't be able to make. And they're the best.
It's unbelievable to listen at what they can do. I mean, I have to use my son for instance.
He's part turkey.
He's advanced so much. He can take that turkey call and go from a light, real light call up to a blame elk bugling.
It's like playing an instrument. I mean, when people are really good on it, it's like somebody who's very good on an instrument.
It is. And see, you know, the mouth calls that they use, and we have a division, we call that the open division, and in the open division, you can use friction or air. But, we got great friction callers. But when you get great friction callers against great, mouth callers or air callers, it's hard to beat. I mean, they can do little whines and whistles and subtle noises that only a true turkey hunter that had turkeys sitting in their lap have heard, you know.
And it's amazing. And the so much to see here. We're talking about this more on the outdoor show this weekend, but I want people to, right now, they listen to us if they have somebody themselves or somebody else who wants to try to call in the contest. Where do they go to sign up?
You can go on World Turkey Calling Championship. That's on Facebook. You can go under Turkey Calling Contest and Turkey Callers of America. That's the three that I published, you know, put it on the most, because that's what the outreach is to mm-hmm. the callers. But and go under my on my page, just Kenny Weiss on Facebook there, you know.
Okay, and we'll link that through. Yeah, we'll link it through. And reminder, too, if y'all need this information, you're riding down the road, I got you. Just send an email here or text in, and we'll get you connected. And for people who want to come out, and I think they should, to watch these callers in action, they really don't have to do anything between now and then. Just show up, right?
Just show up and shut your cell phones off when you come in the door.
All right.
And sit back and enjoy.
Man, that is for sure. Kenny, thank you for working to bring this piece of Mobile's history back, and also giving everybody a heads up that it is back, and it's coming up 2 days here in Mobile, man. I think this is going to be great.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I hope we have a great turnout, but we truly need to get Mobile, you know, out to support it, to back this thing, you know, so we can keep it here, you know. So, but, you know, I thank you for having us on and spreading the word.
Hey, it's a pleasure. I can't wait to see you down there. Kenny, thanks for what you're doing. Tell your son I said hello.
We'll do it.
All right.
We'll do it.
Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. Grab some calls, and State Auditor Jim Ziegler on the way at 1:30 as well.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 126 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Latest update on some bills moving around in Montgomery and what they would have to do with the tolling authority on the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge. We'll talk about that with State Auditor Jim Ziegler. He joins us about 1:35. Right now, a name familiar to a lot of y'all who have listened to his discussions about CBD on the show with us from Azalea City Hand and Rehab, Terry Brighton, joining us now. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
All right. I want to we get an update here, because I was talking earlier in the hour or last hour with Todd Stacey about the medical marijuana bill, and then you've been sending me information throughout that there's a little more to this than just straight up medical marijuana.
That is correct, John. What I kind of want to clear, I know we're on a schedule, tight schedule here, but let me give you a quick update. There's two bills, a hemp bill, which is Senate Bill TP5. That has been tabled. It is being voted on now to go through the House, and the governor hopefully will sign that. We're all for the hemp bill. The medical marijuana bill, which is Senate Bill 236, is trying to tie CBD in with the medical marijuana. And it's not, you know, as you heard in my talks through the radio with you, it's not the same. It's not THC.
Right.
So the wording needs to be cleaned up in that for that bill. It has been taken off the table. They're thinking it's going to be put back to next year, you know, the next session, before they bring that up, because there's a lot of opposition to that the way it sets right now. So either the language has got to be changed, which is like probably 49 pages of that bill, and all but 6 pages are pharmaceutical language, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we do not want to support a medical marijuana bill that has CBD as part of that labeling, okay? Because it's not a drug, and it's not THC. We would rather that be taken out. I'm all for the medical marijuana bill personally, and for the patient's rights to it. But the way it stands now, and apparently we've created enough boots on the ground to get this thing tabled and given more thought to, because I'm part of a legislative liaison working on this. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Hopefully it'll be session to next year, the next mm-hmm. session. And we've got a lot of education to do, so we do not tie CBD in with medical marijuana or a THC-laden drug.
All right. Well, good. They said that, you know, that this is
Right now, they're kicking in this 1 year of research into it or whatever and going to deal with this and get these questions answered before 2021, which would be the first year, I guess, this would be, if it did pass, it's the first year it would be law, is 2021.
Right.
Well, thank you for the update on that, and we'll have to talk more about this soon. They're probably going to wrap up today or tomorrow in Montgomery, Terry, so we'll have something concrete by then, what they did or didn't do.
Okay, and I will keep you posted on my end of that as well, Sean.
I appreciate it, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Terry Brighton checking in. And, yeah, there's, like, anything. You look at what goes on in Washington or Montgomery, like a bill will be painted one way, and then you read down a couple paragraphs, and then there's a bunch of other jazz in there. I like using teach my children, just use the word jazz instead of using something else. Just call it jazz. Oh, by the way, look, thank you. Thank you. Looks like some people understand what I was saying. Getting a lot of Twitter activity here from my rewritten headline. I just rewrote a headline about a shark and a swimmer on a Florida Panhandle beach. I just thought it needed a little rewrite. Y'all check it out. Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065. Just moved a couple words and did a little shift in here. State Auditor Jim Ziegler joins us next. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, thank you for the emails on the discussion of that World Turkey Calling Championship coming back to Mobile after all these years. Details, you can go through our Facebook page to get a link and get it for the Outdoors Facebook page or the, there's just the standard, the main line, the general issue, FM Talk 1065 Facebook page. And big thank you to Kenny Weiss for joining us talking about that. The history of it, I think, is really cool, painting that picture from back in 1940 of that. And we'll talk more about this going forward. And I also mentioned going into the news break, be joined by State Auditor Jim Ziegler to talk, we could talk some State Auditor stuff, but really what I want to talk about is continuing looking into the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and the tolls. Last time you were on with us, you were telling us, hey, the deadline was coming up for the commentary, end of the commentary period. I think that was May 23rd. Now that's done. Did you get any idea that the people were saying yes, no, or maybe on those comments to LDOT?
I do know that over 700 people commented. That's a lot. We will at some point be able to read the comment. It will be posted. And now that we have something else to do, trying to defeat enabling legislation for the IC.
We're having a little trouble hearing you, Jim. If you could, there?
Senate Bill 347 has been passed.
Okay, let's go back because we couldn't hear you for a second. So, yeah, the two parts of this, we got the talking about the toll, but we have the enabling legislation. In other words, the go-ahead here in Montgomery, and then go back to that point, pick it up, and let us know what that bill number is and what you found in that bill.
SB 347 has passed the House and the Senate. It is now being sent to Governor Ivey's desk for her to either sign into law or veto. And I am asking people on our Facebook campaign headquarters against the toll, which is called Block the Mobile Bayway Toll, I'm asking people to call Governor Ivey's office and ask her to veto SB 347. What it does, it enables.
Maybe we'll run to the break or something. Just the phone is very muffled, and we're having a lot of trouble here. Dalton, I'm gonna put Auditor Ziegler on hold. Can you see if we get a? Because this is detail in here that people need to hear. This is. I was saying to a buddy earlier today, off air. I was in the studio, as always, working on other stuff, and he and I were talking. I said, you know, the thing is, I could work and put so many things together here and new technology and all the stuff we do in the studio, but when it comes down to it, is the connection on somebody's cell phone is absolutely, at that point, it is everything for this radio station. So I know I obsess on phone stuff, but there's a reason. We looking, is that a one thumbs up, two? Good. All right. Let's go back to State Auditor Jim Ziegler. I'm sorry about that. We're just having trouble hearing you.
Yes, we are asking people to contact Governor Kay Ivey's office and ask her to veto SB 347. That's the bill that would enable a private tow company to suspend your driver's license and block the renewal of your car tax if you fail to pay a toll. If they say you're going to pay a toll. Also, it allows the toll company to add administrative fees to the toll charges. It is absolutely necessary for the toll project if this passed, and the best way to block the toll on the I-10 bridge is to get the governor to veto SB 347.
Okay, so to put this in concept, if somebody gets a speeding ticket and doesn't pay it, then they can have their license revoked. But that is government, that's law enforcement, that's the state makes that decision. They issued the driver's license, they suspend it because you didn't pay the ticket. In this case, this private group that is putting up the capital here that gets the toll money, if you don't pay your toll to them, they can. Do they tell somebody at the state that your driver's license is suspended, this private company?
Yes, they do. It more or less makes the private company authorized as an agent of the state to cause your driver's license to be suspended or your car tag not to be renewed.
Okay, we're going to have to work on this phone thing. I tell you what, we'll run to the break because this is important stuff. We want to hear it, but just having a lot of trouble hearing this. Maybe we can get another connection or something like that and come back. I'll put them on hold. And so I'll tell you what, Dalton, we'll run to the break early here because I got no other way to solve that when I'm doing the show at the same time trying to make sure the phones sound okay. It's always interesting, always a challenge. Okay, but we will persevere. My friends will persevere, and we'll come back and get more on that and grab some text, too. I see a few of those coming in already at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll be right back. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
145, FM Talk 1065 in Midday Mobile. And I think we got everything straightened out. The yarn between the can on my end and the can on State Auditor Jim Ziegler's end. And talking about the, you called it the enabling legislation for the toll. Is that correct?
That's correct. This legislation would be the best way to stop the toll on the I-10 bridge. We could get Governor Ivey to veto it. It's passed the House of the Senate already, so there's no use in contacting the legislature. Governor Ivey has it on her desk to sign into law or veto. This is the bill that would allow a private toll company to suspend your driver's license or block the renewal of your tag. It would also allow them to add administrative charges to the toll bills that they'll be sending out. The important thing is that stopping this bill is our best chance to stop the I-10 toll.
And if y'all didn't catch that earlier, the ability of a private entity to, I guess, would tell the state, like, so you didn't pay your toll. And I could argue that if you're going to have a toll, there has to be some enforcement mechanism to have the toll paid, or people will just, you know, to give them the one finger salute and keep on cruising, and, you know, with impunity. But in this case, that they would use the state to take away your driver's license or block your tag renewal, right? You would, the state of Alabama would tell you your license is suspended because you didn't pay this private entity your toll.
That's correct. And all of this is part and parcel of a movement to establish a toll bridge mafia. If you had a chance to go to the Facebook page, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll, and read the bill, read SB 347, you'll be stunned by what it says. It's like they've hired the Russian KGB to run the toll bridge.
Now, you say the mafia. Who are the players? Who are the what families are we talking about here in this toll bridge mafia?
We do not know yet. That's one of the many problems. You keep talking about a partnership, a public-private partnership, and we don't yet know who the partners are going to be. But the way the bill is written, it doesn't matter if it
a huge, very good church. They don't need to have this kind of power.
I hate it. We're going to have to do this another day. I mean, I appreciate your time, State Auditor Jim Ziegler. If you can check out his Facebook page, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll. I don't know. I've tried everything I know to have people talk into their phones and get a good connection. And well, we'll do another day. All right. Yeah. If you go to the, and let me read through what he had put in this email to me. It said SB 347. Now, once again, what Jim said is this is, you don't call your member of the House or Senate. This is already through there. This is on the governor's desk. And I want to hear from those people who support this. I want to hear, you know, about this nuance. You know, it's like you got to pass the bill to see what's in it. This part of it, SB 347, would enable toll companies to suspend driver's licenses and block renewal of car tags for unpaid toll charge. It also enables adding administrative fees to toll charges. Okay, I'm with you. I mean, that leaves me a little slack-jawed. But at the same time, if you are going to decide, doesn't it make sense that if you are passing a bill, if you're going to pass a bill that you agree there will be a toll, you have to have some kind of teeth, right? There has to be teeth in this thing. You can't just have a toll. Now, the idea of, hey, there shouldn't be a toll or it should be administered by government agency, I'm with you. I'm with you. But if you are someone that agrees that there's going to be a toll and there's private entities in there, then you're looking at a situation where they're just setting themselves up to be able to get their money. I mean, they have to have an enforcement mechanism. I mean, it's crazy as it is to me that you have this private entity getting the state to take away your driver's license. At the same time, if I'm the private entity and I'm risking the capital to do this, once again, whether I like the deal or not, I'm just saying, if you're somebody who agrees with some tolling amount and the private capital at risk to get that toll amount, then they have to have, it would be bad business if they didn't have some kind of enforcement mechanism. Doesn't mean I like this, y'all. God, settle down with it. It just means if you're going to do this, inherently this has to be part of it, which is probably another reason people are going to question, should it be done in the first place? Like I asked, you know, a couple times of members of the legislature, is it time just to put this on the shelf for a while? Now, we'll grab some calls on this. Maybe you got your phones lined up a little better here at 343-0106. And Derek is in Fairhope up first. Hey, Derek.
Man, can you hear me first?
Man, I got you crystal clear.
There you go. Sorry, Jim. Man, okay, so they are cramming so much stuff down our throats this year and not giving us what we want as the citizens have pretty much demanded. What the hell's going on, Sean?
It's a good question. What gets me is, so there's like SB 347. So this enabling legislation for the toll, there's parts that have been that people have talked with me about, have come on here and promoted, and in this good and in that other thing good, but they leave out, obviously, you're gonna show the report card to the parents with the somehow have the A's showing and the C's covered up with a coffee stain or something like that. And this is the C or the D here in this. Once again, like I said, if you believe there should be a toll, then you should actually agree with this, because there's no other mechanism for a private entity to be able to get toll compliance unless they can suspend your driver's license or something like that. But it comes back to the question then, is this the right choice to toll this in the first place? And if we can't do it without a toll, do we do something else? Do we punt?
Well, it's almost like we need to punt, because you don't want to give... You know, me and you disagree on a lot of things, but then again, these are things that we do agree upon, is that you can't give a private entity that power, because then where does this stop? I mean, if you set a precedent for it, where does it stop? You know, there has to be a stopping point, and this is, you know, personally opening the door, you know, it's opening Pandora's box. I'm not saying that we should have another state agency to oversee this. But is there
no,
not
it's already
an agency
there.
That can already do it?
It's already there. I mean,
what's the problem? What are we doing then?
That's what I'm saying. But it's there for state things. So like, if you and I are we're speeding, we're road racing out there, we both get speeding tickets, right? And
sure.
And we don't pay the speeding ticket, then the state that issued our driver's license will suspend the driver's license. Correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
so that's
yes.
The teeth. That's the mechanism for enforcement. So we're all used to that. That's normal. State issues a license. State taketh away the license. But in this case, it would be the private entity getting the state to be their henchmen, in a way, to take away that license. At the same time, if you think there's going to be a toll, it's the only way they can do it, because if there's no way to enforce a toll, then we're all going to tell them they're number one. Yeah, we're going to say, hey, you're number one, here's my finger, and take a picture of this while you're at it, you know?
Yeah, I know. It gets into that whole red light camera.
That's where I was going. Yep.
On penalty, and, you know, and at that point, you really do have to question, is it a reward or is it punitive?
Is it public safety? In the red light camera argument we always had, is it about public safety or is it about revenue? Now, this is a little bit different, but...
All right.
Well, your phone's
Jim
good.
Learn how to work on the phone here. You know, Jim needs to... As much as he's got to say, I can't believe he couldn't get it out. You know what I mean?
Oh, he was saying it. We just couldn't hear it. But we're going to get him a GoFundMe Kickstarter page started, and we're going to get him a phone with a better system here. So,
well, the state will take it away from him. They'll figure out funds, you know, that they're going to have to take it away from him somehow. So, all right, later, fella.
All right, thanks, man. He'll audit himself. No, so the red light camera is somewhat, it's like apples and Tangelos. Not apples and apples. In the red light camera, I'm pretty concrete on my feelings there. When you have, or like, remember when the private company was coming in, they wanted to run traffic enforcement, in other words, speeding tickets on the connector where it ran through Pritchard, and I questioned that. I don't, as much as I love the free market, if y'all listen to any period of time, love the free market, love the clarity of it, I love how it all works. I don't want that in government. It is the reason that I'm against private prisons. It's the reason I'm against private-backed red light cameras. It's the reason I got an icky feeling about this private portion of an existing travel route on I-10. I love the private sector. I understand the private sector. I often say I'm not mad at lobbyists and the private sector trying to influence politicians. I'm mad at politicians, okay? But in these cases... If you're telling me in the case of a red light camera or running speed that it's about public safety, if your motivation, if you're a private company that's worth a flip, your motivation is profit, as it should be. That's not bad. Profit is not evil. It's why you unlock the door in the morning. But that's not public safety. That's profit. In the case of the bridge, what it says to me, the fact that private capital has been put together to finance this, is there's not enough public will to do this, right? There's not enough public will nor money. Because don't just say it's money, because Lord knows, look how far in debt are we as a nation. So we find money for things we can't afford when there's will. There's not will for it. There's will for a private entity to risk capital for a good rate of return. So when you enter into that, if I'm the person, just put yourself in their shoes, whoever they are. Whoever they are. Once again, get mad at government, don't get mad at the private entity. You know, state auditors say, well, I don't know who they are. I don't care who they are. If they're risking capital, if I come to you and say, hey, man, I need you to give me $10,000. We got this thing. Here's how it's going to work. We're going to build this. We're going to build this bridge, and we're going to have people pay us by toll. The first question you're going to ask me is, well, how do I make sure I get my money? Right? And if I go, well, I don't know. I mean, we have no real way to make people. We're told by plate, but we have no real... you're out. You're out, right? You're not going to do that if there's no enforcement mechanism. Of course not. All right, text question here. Is it possible to set up an organization as a nonprofit entity to operate a toll system? Does it have to be a private for-profit entity? Well, if you talk about a nonprofit entity, you're talking about government, right? Or are you talking about say you set up a 501c3 to do that. Where do you put, how do you get the money into the 501c3 for the 501c3 to pay the money to build the bridge in the first place and then be repaid? How does the money get it? I'm not saying that rhetorically. I'm asking a question, like a real interrogatory. How do you get the money in there? And somebody says possibly the Russians and the Mafia were interfering with state auditor's phone. Quite possible. It's the Bayway Toll Bridge Mafia. Wouldn't you gone troll? Trolls? Bridge trolls? See, now this texter says, I'm still going to give it a finger when I go through anyway. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for understanding what I say, unnamed texter. Eric says, take a picture of this. Yeah, so Ben says this, and Ben, this is what I think is happening. Here's what I think is, you know, they're always, what's trending? What's okay, I'll tell you what I think is trending. It's what Ben said. I'm leaning more and more to just dropping the whole idea of a new bridge. And I don't think I'm the only one that feels this way. Ben, I don't think you are either. That's the problem, because I can turn around and give you a whole case of why we need some relief for traffic on I-10 at the tunnels, right? I mean, I think we can't disagree that we got a traffic issue. But this has gotten so convoluted. This is like a situation where somebody's rushing you into something, right? You know, like a business deal or the timeshare thing where somebody's rushing you into it. And they're saying, no, you can't, you can't go think about it. You have to make a decision right now. You know what you say right then? No. And that's what it feels like to a lot of people. All right. Texture says, every other place in the country I've been that has tolls, they have transponders for the locals to put in their windshields. Yeah, like SunPass and all those things, sure. Okay, I set up a GoFundMe page for the $10,000 in bridge money you were talking about. I'll get right. Why don't you put the $10,000 in, and once yours is in there and secure, I'll think about putting $10,000 in. Let's see. Yeah. So, Superbom, I get it. Superbom said, "Yet you are okay with the private sector running an Alabama lottery." No, I'm okay with the private sector running lotteries in Alabama. It wouldn't be the Alabama lottery. It'd be ABC lottery companies. And they'd take the risk. So, I mean, that's the point. There's, lottery is not the job of government. Making roads and bridges kind of is most of the time. So, Geronimo, thank you. Geronimo says who's going to be the most unpopular person on the text line today. Start tolling the tunnel now and get the revenue coming in. All right, find Bob next. I'll see y'all in the morning.